Beth Finn, and this is See Beth Run. In this week's episode, I reflect on leaving a legacy, attending some incredible events, and fighting back against imposter syndrome. I also get to be in the room where it happens, to say thank you to two of my political heroes, President Barack Obama and Senator Elizabeth Warren, and to feel like Pennsylvania is at the center of the universe. Here we go again with what may be the most jam-packed week yet. I'm Beth Finn, and I'm running for Philadelphia City Council at Large. Today is Sunday, September 23rd, and it's about 11:15 p.m. here in Philadelphia, where I am recording my reflections from week 16. And that puts us almost 4 months in on the campaign, and this really has been a jam-packed week. So many things to talk about, so many events, so many things happening. I should just get started. So we'll start with the logistics, because you know I like to do that. So some of the more tactical stuff I focused on this week is my logo. I think I mentioned last week that I've been trying to rearrange my logo from the square version, which I like and is good in some places, to a wider version. And I've been sort of polling a couple people. I did it myself. I rearranged it. I have some very limited graphic skills, so I made an attempt to rearrange it myself, and I showed it to some people that I know who do some graphic design, like that's their day job, and I got a little feedback from them, and one of them said, let me take a stab at it, and she offered to take a stab at it, so she did, and she sent me what she came up with the other day, and I mean, the instant I saw it, I knew it was perfect. I love it. It's fantastic. So I have a new wide version of my logo, and that will be debuting on my website and whatnot pretty soon. By the time I actually, publish this podcast, I'm sure it will be out there. So you will have seen it. But I was just so excited. She did such a great job and turned it around really quickly. So, excuse me. I was, she turned it around really quickly. So I was very grateful for that. And for her willingness to help me out. So Julie, thank you. I appreciate that. I also got a lot of work done on my issue page this week. I think that they're really in very good shape and almost ready to publish. The sort of debate I'm having back and forth now is whether I should put the more in-depth information up there or really have something that's more short and sweet. I think a lot of voters, I think there are some voters who care about that in-depth detail, and I want to have that information available to them. But most voters maybe just want the brief summary. So I think it's important to have that as sort of the first thing you see, and then have the option to click through for more detail if you want it. So I've been really thinking about, how to structure that stuff so that people get what they want when they want it. Issue pages. But anyway, my top three issues that I'm really focused on right now, I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this before, but it's infrastructure, our crumbling infrastructure here in Philadelphia. We haven't really paid attention to things like our water pipes and our school buildings and things for 90 years or more, and we're gonna be paying the price. We are already paying the price. So infrastructure is definitely one of the top three things that I want to focus on. Affordable housing, which I've talked about quite extensively in this podcast previously, is definitely at the top of my list. I think it's so important that we make sure that people in Philadelphia have plenty of options for housing, regardless of their income level. And then the third issue of my top three issues is economic equality. And I think it's important that we're attracting new employers to the city, but at the same time, we need to make sure that the city and the people of the city are getting back what we're giving to them in incentives to get them to come here. So we've got to find the right balance, right? It's not a simple answer, but we've got to find the right balance. So So those are the three things that I'm largely focusing on. And of course, as time goes by, I think I'll expand that list. But as I've been talking to Philadelphians, those are the things that they are talking about and that they care about. And so those are the things that I care about. And then also on my website, I added a news page. So there have been a couple of articles written so far about me and about the race for city council at large next year. So I've put up some links to them. So that's all in one place for people if they want to check it out. And then the last sort of logistical thing I've been working on this week is trying to arrange some fundraisers and meet and greets with people so that I can, you know, get out into the city more and meet more people and raise a little money. Unfortunately, that is a sad truth in politics. In order to run and get elected, you do have to raise money. So, so I've been talking to some people about trying to get some of those arranged, and I think those will start happening in the next few weeks. So I'm excited for that. I really like being out with people and talking to them about what's important to them and, you know, their thoughts about what we should do to make Philadelphia the best place it can be for us. That stuff, that really drives me. I love talking to people, and I love going to those kinds of events. So I'm excited to get a few on the calendar for myself instead of for other people. I think it's going to be exciting. So from a logistical standpoint, that's actually quite a lot to go on. There's a million other things too. I had to really go back and look at all my notes from this week to see everything that I had worked on. I'm starting to think about hiring an intern and putting together a little job description so I can find the right person for that, and things like that too. So, lots happening on that front. And that's not even the start of the things that I have to talk about today. Let's see. Of course, I did more canvassing this weekend. I did a lot more efforts for getting out the vote for the November elections. It'll come as no surprise to anyone that is my number one priority right now. We must focus on this November, getting out the vote, flipping seats to blue in Pennsylvania, and just getting all of these fantastic candidates who are running elected. So I did like the trifecta of get out the vote stuff this week. I had canvassing and I had postcards and I had texting. Oh my. So I did a little bit of all of those things. If you're keeping track at home or keeping score at home, I am up to 1,270 doors knocked for this election cycle. And so I have not officially bumped my goal up from 1,500 to 2,000, but it's looking more and more like I really ought to do that. Because I'm getting pretty close to the 1,500. So, yeah, I should really think about bumping that. We'll see. Not officially doing it yet. But, the other thing is, so one of my friends, Linda, has been coming canvassing with me for the last few weekends, and, she's getting more comfortable with it. And she actually finally went out by herself this week. We couldn't go at the same time, so she went on her own. And I was so excited to see her do that. And it's funny, I always take pictures of me canvassing because I want to post them on social media to encourage other people to go. And I think that it works, right? I've had quite a few people reach out to me because of those posts on social media and say, hey, I want to go with you next time, or how can I get involved? And they have gotten involved. And Linda, got involved that way too. So she went out canvassing by herself, and she actually posted her own selfie of her canvassing, saying that she knew I would insist upon it. And I just thought it was funny. I'm so glad she did. Because she'll now recruit more people too. On that front, Julia Louis-Dreyfus has actually been doing this campaign. She launched it this week, called Multiply Your Vote. And her point is that, yeah, we all have to go out and vote, but we can do even more by volunteering. That multiplies our vote. For every person who volunteers, that may mean, you know, 5 more people who vote because you're reaching out to them, you're reminding them of the election, you're talking to them about the issues. Just what I've been doing for the last several months. You're multiplying your vote. And I think that's so true and so important. And the thing that most excites me about this campaign from Julia Louis-Dreyfus is that the texting option, so she, you know, when you go to her website to sign up, you can sign up to Canvas or to Phone Bank or to text or whatever, write postcards. The texting option actually links to Red to Blue, which is the group that I've been texting with and who has so graciously offered to run my texting operations next year. They're really a fantastic organization. They're very organized. They have great instructions for their volunteers for how they can, how they do the texting. And I'm so impressed by them. And so it was really exciting when Red to Blue was chosen to be the texting option for this campaign. And so we saw a huge influx of new volunteers over the last few days because of that campaign. And I did a lot of texting this weekend, or helping out with the texting. I've been doing some moderating for them, actually, to kind of help other people do the texting. And we were texting for so many candidates, lots of Pennsylvania candidates, also candidates in Michigan and other parts of the country. And it's just such a great way. I just can't get over how great a way to engage with voters I think texting is. Of course, we do get the occasional person who says, I can't believe you texted me, now I'm never going to vote for your candidate. I don't really think they mean it. And honestly, I think a text is much less intrusive than a phone call or a knock on the door. And so my thought is that the people who react that way maybe don't want to be contacted at all, but the way that we make sure people vote is by contacting them. So I don't know, pick your poison. You can get a knock on your door, you can get a phone call, or you can get a text. I would think most people would prefer the text because they can deal with it in their own time, or they can ignore it or whatever. But so I always think it's funny when people reply back and say, well, I was going to vote for your candidate, but now since you texted me, I'm not going to. I think that's sort of cutting off your nose to spite your face. But, you know, I guess some people just are never satisfied, or I don't know what. But anyway, the texting is good. The canvassing was good. And then the third piece of the trifecta was postcarding. So I have a colleague and friend named Mara who hosted a Leslie Knope themed postcard party. And so in case you're not familiar with Leslie Knope, she's the main character from a show called Parks and Rec, which was on the air a few years ago. And Leslie works for the city of Pawnee, Indiana, in their Parks and Recreation department. And eventually in the series, I should say spoiler alert here, I guess, but it's an over and done series, so hopefully you've seen it. But anyway, eventually in the series, she runs for city council. And, you know, when I first announced that I was running, there was more than one person who compared me to Leslie Knope. And I just love that comparison. Parks and Rec is one of my favorite shows. It's actually, I don't watch a ton of television, but when I need something to just really lift my spirits, Parks and Rec is usually one of my go-tos. So to be compared to Leslie Knope is really, I love it. It's fun. But anyway, Mara hosted this Leslie Knope themed postcard party today, and we wrote postcards for a state house representative candidate named Claudette Williams. And she's running up in the Poconos in Pennsylvania. So we wrote dozens and dozens and dozens of postcards for her. And actually, my finger is a little numb still from writing. I do write things by hand. You know, I actually really like to write handwritten thank you notes. I think that that's a really nice personal touch. But, you know, that's only like 3 or 4 sentences. And this, I was writing postcard after postcard after postcard. And my finger is a little numb from all of that holding the pen and writing, I guess. I I have not done that much handwriting in a really long time. So I think if I do that again, I might have to get a more ergonomic pen or something. But yeah, so that... That was the third part of the trifecta for this November's election. And as always, if you want to get involved, and I hope that you will, I hope you will multiply your vote by getting involved in volunteering, let me know, because I am more than happy to share with you any of the resources that I've discovered to help get out the vote for November. And I'm happy to show you the ropes on any of it. You want a canvas, you want to write postcards, you want to text, you want a phone bank. Whatever it is, let me know. I am here to help you. okay. So also this week, this was such a busy week. But anyway, also this week, in the middle of the week, was Yom Kippur, which is the Jewish, the most important holiday in the Jewish year. And it's the Day of Atonement where you... you know, in the 10 days leading up to Yom Kippur, you are supposed to do the work yourself to get to work with people that you know, and if you have done any wrongs to them, you're supposed to work to correct them in the intervening time between Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and Yom Kippur, and then if you have done that work and you know, made it right with the people that you know, then you can make it right with God. And so the Day of Atonement is when you ask for forgiveness for your sins and hopefully are written into the book of life for a good year. And you fast on Yom Kippur, and then it ends with a big break the fast meal, and you know, which, you know, you get together with all your family and friends and break the fast, and then it's a celebration. But what I want to talk about Yom Kippur is again, the rabbi's sermon was very meaningful and impactful to me. So one of the tenets or values in Judaism is this concept called of repairing the world. So it's our duty as Jews to right the wrongs that we see. And we talk about that a lot at Yom Kippur because it is a time of reflection and a time of atonement. And so you're not only righting your personal wrongs, but you're trying to right injustices that you see in the world. And I think so much of that concept has shaped why it is that I do the activism that I do, and then why I have ultimately decided to run for office. It is about repairing the world. I see injustices, and I want to correct them. And I think that comes from my upbringing in Judaism and my heritage there. I don't like to see those injustices, and if I can do something to fix them, I want to. So Rabbi Friedman did talk some about repair the world. And the other thing he talked about was seeking happiness versus seeking meaning. And so seeking happiness, he talked about a study that was done. And so people who pursued happiness were happier in the short term. But long term, people who pursued meaning were happier long term. And I thought that was an interesting distinction because they're not the same thing, right? Happiness and meaning are not always the same. But I guess the point is that if you seek meaning, you will find happiness. And I spend a lot of time, I think, seeking meaning. And, you know, I don't have kids, and I think sometimes about my legacy that I want to leave behind in the world. In Judaism, I don't mean to be so introspective about my religion, but, well, I guess with the high holidays, it's, you know, makes sense. But anyway, in Judaism, you live on through people remembering you and through the things that you leave behind. And so, you know, for many people, that's through their children and grandchildren and that kind of thing. I don't have any children, and so that isn't my legacy. There are other ways, though, for me to leave a legacy. And I guess part of that is my desire to repair the world. And So searching for that meaning in life, and you know, and trying to determine what your legacy is, that's how I want to do it. And then the last thing that the rabbi talked about in his sermon that really resonated with me is that when you do something, when you decide that you're going to do something or tackle something, you should do it with all the might that you can. And this is also a concept that is common in Judaism, right? You're going to do it with all your heart and all your soul. You're going to do it with all the might that you can. And I think, again, that is a concept in Judaism that has really informed the way that I live my life and how I approach things. I don't like to do things partway. When I'm going to commit to something, I commit 100%, maybe 110%. And so all of those things just really kind of came together for me on Yom Kippur and really helped solidify for me why I'm doing what I'm doing and why this actually, even though it's not something that I had ever considered in the past, it makes perfect sense to me why I'm on this path right now. And it feels like the right path. And I'm not sure I had fully felt that way until maybe this week, that I am on the right path. I have made the right choice here. I think I'm going to get more into that in a little bit, but, the next kind of group of things I want to talk about, there were a lot of really incredible events this week, and I was so lucky to get to attend them. So I'm going to start at the beginning of the week and work my way through, because I don't know what else to do. But so on Monday, there was a pretty big fundraiser that called the Blue Plate Special, and it was put on by an organization called Turn PA Blue, which I've talked about many times in the past. I think they're doing amazing work in Philadelphia and in Pennsylvania to flip seats and turn Pennsylvania blue. And so they have a pack that's called the PA Blue Victory Fund, and they it's pretty new, but they hosted this fundraiser. It was at the Franklin Institute, and they had I think 40 different chefs there from restaurants around the city, and they each, you know, were preparing a little tasting dish. And so with your ticket, you got to go in, you got to try all the food, you got to meet all the people. They had an incredible lineup of speakers. They have, I think, is something like 40 candidates that they're supporting, and almost all of them were there at the event. They had them all lined up on the stage, and they had given them these great aprons that said "Ready to Serve," which I think is just such a perfect phrase for people who want to represent us, right? These are people who want to serve their constituents. They are not in it for all the wrong reasons. They're in it for all the right reasons, which is to serve their constituents. So I loved those aprons that said "Ready to Serve." I actually really would like to know where I can get one. I think that they could make a lot more money if they sell them, but I should suggest that to them. But anyway, the event was incredible. All of those candidates were there. So many of them I know, which is a new thing for me. I don't think would know that many people running for office, but because I've been getting involved and because I've been knocking doors and because I've been doing all these things, I know so many of them now, and I'm so excited for when they get to Harrisburg and for when they get to Washington, D.C., and they represent the people of Pennsylvania better than what is happening now. Because what is happening now isn't representing us well. And so many of them are women, and so many of them are people of color, and there are LGBTQ people who are running, and all of these groups that have not historically been represented by our elected officials are going to be represented now. And I think that's so important. It's so important. So I kind of had this dual... I don't know, this dual set of feelings or emotions that revolved around this event at Turn PA Blue. So the first part of it was really like, I really am starting to feel like I'm getting it. Like I've been kind of going with this whole concept of fake it till you make it. And with running for office, because I started out really not knowing how to do this. That's one of the reasons I'm recording this podcast, right? There is no guide to running for office out there that you can just Google and follow. And so one of the reasons that I started this podcast in the first place was to try and provide some information to other people who are thinking about running and let them know what is involved in the process. But so I've been kind of going with this fake it till you make it idea. And all of a sudden on Monday night, I was in that room and there were over 600 people there. And I felt like I belonged in that room. I knew people there. People knew me there. I was able to talk to them as a candidate and as an informed citizen and voter. And I felt like things are really starting to fall into place. I'm getting used to being the candidate. I may never fully get used to that, but at least I'm getting more comfortable with it, and I'm able to introduce myself that way. And I got a lot of practice introducing myself as a candidate and telling people who I am and what I stand for. And so that part of it felt great. I felt like I even felt like it, whatever it is I'm faking, this is maybe what I was meant to do. I feel like I am starting to have an impact, and I feel like I am starting to help people see my vision for Philadelphia. And, you know, all of the things that I've done in my life, none of which were really politically focused, have led me to this point where I think I'm ready. I'm still terrified. But I'm also starting to see that I can do this. I have something really valuable and important to bring to the city of Philadelphia. And I think that the people of Philadelphia want to believe in me and in my vision, right? It's not me, it's my vision. And that's what I want. That's what I want them to see. And I'm starting to feel like I belong. And that is a really powerful thing. But on the other side of that, so I had a lot of conversations at this event on Monday night, and many of them with people I'd never met before. And, but I was meeting them, and most of them were Philadelphians. And so my instant initial questions for new Philadelphians that I meet is, what part of Philadelphia do you live in? And what are the issues that are important to you? And so I was able to have some conversations with people about that. And then some of them, because this was a pretty politically savvy room, and so they would learn that I'm running for city council at large, because I would tell them. And they'd say, well, tell us about you. And I'd give them my 2-minute elevator pitch, probably not even 2 minutes, about who I am, that I'm a 15-year brain tumor survivor, that I'm an organizer of the Women's March on Philadelphia, that I have a 20-year career as a technology leader in the city, and then about the things that I want to focus on for Philadelphia: infrastructure, affordable housing, economic opportunity. And so I just give them the quick, 2-minute pitch on that. And so many of them respond so positively to that. And then they say, I would like to, I want to learn more. I want to, tell me what your website is. I want to check it out. I want to host a meet and greet for you. And they are drawn to my message so quickly. And I can't help but think, how can that be? I am so astounded that that people so instantly get on board. And I don't understand. There's a part of me that says, why would they do that? Why do I deserve that? And so I was having a conversation with Rupali, my treasurer, and all of a sudden it hit me that that doubting of myself is a form of imposter syndrome. And I don't know if I've talked about imposter syndrome on the podcast before, but imposter syndrome is something I talk about quite a lot with other women in the technology sector because, so in case you don't know, imposter syndrome is this concept, and it's common, especially among women, that when you have some success in your career or your life or whatever, and you kind of go, I don't deserve to be here. They're going to figure out that I don't know what I'm doing. How did this happen? What if they figure out I'm a fraud, right? So you feel like an imposter, even though you have put in the work to get to where you are and you do deserve to be there. You have this voice in your head that's saying you don't belong. You don't deserve to be here. You're going to get found out. They're going to know that you're a fraud. And so that's imposter syndrome. And in my career in technology, we talk about that all the time. Women in technology talk about it all the time because we are in the minority, and it's a very common thing amongst women. And when you recognize it, it loses its power, right? So you say, ah, right, that's the imposter syndrome talking. I do belong here. I have put in the work. I am capable. I have the skills. And you can conquer it, right? And so I don't know exactly what it was that made it click for me that was imposter syndrome rearing its ugly head, me saying, why do they like my message? Why should, you know, I don't belong here? But whatever it was, I finally realized that I think that's what it is. I think that doubt is imposter syndrome rearing its ugly head. So it's not so simple as just saying, oh, imposter syndrome, go away. But now that I know, I can recognize that and I can hopefully conquer it. And that was a really big realization for me this week. I don't know how long that's been going on, but well, maybe since I started running, right? I think, and I've been saying it all along, right? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm new here. I have no background in this. That doesn't mean I'm not qualified though. And it doesn't mean I don't belong here. So I've got to keep reminding myself that, imposter syndrome has no place in what I'm doing and it can go away. So I'm going to keep reminding myself of that. And by the way, if you're out there and you're feeling that way too, not necessarily about politics, but about anything, tell that imposter syndrome to go away. You are good enough. You're smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like you. If I can quote Saturday Night Live from many moons ago. So yeah, a lot that event, even though I was feeling great about it, I was also feeling that imposter syndrome. And it's so interesting how both of those things can be going on in your head at the same time. So that was the first event of the week. And then there were still a lot of other events that happened in the week. So the next event in the week I want to talk about is, I've mentioned many times that I'm the co-chair of the Race for Hope Philadelphia volunteer planning team, and our 5K run and walk is coming up in October, on October 13th. And so we had our last planning committee meeting this week, and it was really bittersweet because it is likely, almost 100% likely, that I will not be able to co-chair the race next year because of my running for office, for a couple reasons. One is that my time is, I'm just not going to be able to dedicate the time to it that it needs and it deserves. But the other is that, National Brain Tumor Society is and must be a nonpartisan organization. And so it could be a conflict of interest for me to be running for office and also chairing that committee. So I'm still going to, of course, be on the committee I don't think I will ever give that up. I'm so passionate about that cause. But I think I'm going to have to step down from my leadership role there. And kind of realizing that it has been, it's been tough for me. I think my first love will always be for the advocacy that I have done for National Brain Tumor Society. And I'm still going to do that advocacy. It's just in a slightly different role. But I don't know. That realization just really hit me this week because it was the last meeting and I was thinking about next year and all that stuff. And by the way, you should come to the Race for Hope on October 13th. You can join Team Finspiration and I'd love to have you. And we're trying to make it our first $1 million year. And it would be phenomenal if we could raise that much money. We come pretty close each year, but we've never quite hit the million. So, but I think this year, lucky number 13 is our year. So that was the next event for the week. And then, I don't even know how I'm going to be able to talk about these next two events because they were just so beyond anything incredible that I could have ever imagined. Well, let's just see how it goes. So first, on Friday, President Obama came to Philadelphia to rally the troops, so to speak, for Governor Wolf and Senator Casey in their re-elections, and then all of these incredible candidates that we have running for the State House and the State Senate and for U.S. Congress. And so the way that they distributed tickets for this event, they really were trying to encourage people to volunteer to canvass. And so if you had volunteered to canvass the weekend before, you could get a ticket to go to this event. For each shift you did, you could get a ticket. And, well, we all know that I definitely did a couple shifts last weekend. So I was able to get a ticket. And when I went to pick up my ticket, so most of the tickets were these blue tickets. And when I went to pick up my ticket, the field organizer that I work with, his name is Terry. And Terry says to me, oh, well, here's your ticket. And he says, oh, but you know what? I have this special gold ticket for super volunteers. I'm going to give it to you. And I said, oh, Terry, that's really great. What is it? Like, why is it different? What does it do? And he says, well, I don't really know. I think it might get you closer to the stage. And I said, well, that, sure, that sounds great. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And so he gave me that ticket. And then I also had my blue ticket. So I offered that ticket to Rupali, because I knew she would love to see President Obama speak. And, so she and I went to the rally, and it was at the Dell Music Center, which is in Fairmount Park. And it's like it's one of those outdoor venues with, with seating, like amphitheater style seating in front of the stage. And so we get there and they have one line for people with blue tickets, and then they have another much shorter line for people with these yellow tickets. And there were also some red tickets that I think were for political figures. So I tried to get it so Rupali could come with me, but they wouldn't let her because she didn't have a yellow ticket. So I went in the yellow ticket line. And so then, so I still didn't know exactly what this yellow ticket was going to do for me. They were saying, oh, you'll be seated towards the front. And so then they came through the line. And then, so we were, it was the red ticket and yellow ticket line together. And then they came through with these green stickers, green dots. And, they gave those to people with yellow tickets. I don't know if it was all the people with yellow tickets or some of them. I don't know, but I got a green dot. And so I said, well, what does that mean? And they said, oh, you'll see when you get inside. There'll be instructions. And I said, okay. It was very mysterious. But so we go through security. And, of course, because it was President Obama, you had to go through a metal detector and all of that stuff. And so we get through security, and then right there's a sign, you know, blue ticket holders go this way, yellow ticket holders go this way, people with green dots go this other way. And they take us to this little pavilion off to the side, and there were maybe 50 people there. It was not a lot of people at all. And nobody still, we don't know why, we don't know what it means that we have the green dot on our yellow ticket. But it was really, then, you know, a lot of people started coming in that I recognized. So John Fetterman, who's currently the mayor of Braddock, a town in western Pennsylvania, and is also our Democratic lieutenant governor candidate, he was there, and his wife Giselle Fetterman was there too. And then a lot of our congressional candidates who are running for U.S. Congress were there, and you know, and things like that. So people, they started sort of filtering through, and we got to talk to them and meet them, and then they said, "All right, so you guys are going to be on the stage behind President Obama when he speaks." And I think I just about lost it, because I have never been that close to President Obama. And well, that was pretty exciting that we got to be on the stage. And so we did. Oh, and so the other thing was, so one of the people who was up there is Jamie Parapato, who is the head of Turn PA Blue, which I've talked about. I talk about all the time. And so she was very smart. She had brought this roll of Turn PA Blue stickers. And so we started giving them out to everybody there, so that when we were there on the stage behind President Obama with all the cameras and pictures and everything, everybody was wearing a Turn PA Blue sticker. And I love that. I think that it really, really got the point across. So everybody had a Turn PA Blue sticker. They bring us up on the stage. We're on these bleachers, and you know, we were there for the whole time. So lots of people got up and spoke. They introduced all of our wonderful state House and state Senate candidates. They introduced our congressional candidates, all these things. And then it was time for President Obama to come on. And, you know, there are just some people who have an incredible presence and an incredible magnetic personality. And Barack Obama is one of those people. And the moment he stepped on the stage, the electricity in the air, it just changed. And you knew he was there. And his presence was just so amazing. And I was like 10 feet away from him. And, you know, he came and he gave such an impassioned speech. He talked about how important it is to vote, how important it is to volunteer, how important it is to make sure that we really do turn Pennsylvania blue. And it was so powerful and so moving. And I mean, it was just one of the highlights of my life. And, you know, we got to, you know, he came by after he spoke, he came by and shook hands with everybody. And we got to, you know, I guess meet is probably a strong word for what I got to experience with him. But, you know, look, I was 2 feet away from him, and and we're in pictures together. So I think that counts. Anyway, it was such an incredible experience. And he was pretty fired up, and the crowd was pretty fired up. And one of the things that I appreciated so much about that event. Now, first of all, I think the Democratic Party did a great job of running it. It was very well organized. Everybody knew exactly where they were supposed to be and go. So I think that was fantastic. And the other thing I really loved about it is that the people who were there are people who were committed to volunteering for the party and for these candidates. And I really love that they used this amazing event as a way to say thank you to the people who have been working hard for them. And I mean, I have worked really hard for the party, and I didn't expect any kind of thanks. I mean, my thanks will be on November 6th when our candidates win at the polls. But having the opportunity to be in the room where it happens, if I can quote Hamilton, was so amazing, and it's so gratifying. And I didn't knock all those doors so that I could meet President Obama, but if that was a side effect, well, hey, I'll take it. You know, and I guess knocking 1170 doors at that point gets you in the room where it happens. So that was Friday afternoon. And then tonight there was another event, and this was a fundraiser, and It was a conversation with Elizabeth Warren, and the fundraiser was for what they are calling the Fab Four. And these are four incredible women who are running for U.S. Congress in the new Pennsylvania congressional districts 4, 5, 6, and 7. So that's Madeline Dean, that's Mary Gay Scanlon, that's Chrissy Houlihan, and that's Susan Wilde. And these four women are incredible, amazing women. They are intelligent, they are classy, they are compassionate, and they are going to bring all of those amazing qualities to Washington. So they've been calling them the Fab Four, and Elizabeth Warren came to do this fundraiser for them and support them and bring them to Washington. And so I think I have talked some about this training that I went to in April that was put on by the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, PCCC. And PCCC's tagline, or I don't know what you want to call it, their motto, I don't know, they call themselves the Elizabeth Warren wing of American politics. And, you know, they're the group that really got her start when she ran for Senate. And, you know, and she spoke at that training session. And it's really because of that training that I ultimately decided to run for office, right? Having gone to that training, gaining the knowledge that I gained there, helped give me meeting the people that I met there too. That's a huge part of it. Gave me the courage and, I guess, safety net that I needed to finally make the decision to run for office. And so when I got to meet Senator Warren tonight, and I really did meet her, I got to say a few words to her, and I told her that I had gone to the PCCC training in April and that it had changed my life, and I got to thank her for that. And I said to her that I'm running for Philadelphia City Council at large, and she said, "You go get it." And it was so, I mean, it was so emotional and so overwhelmingly powerful. And I, you know, I feel like I've met two of my heroes this week. And I don't know if it gets any better than that. Within 48 hours, meeting Barack Obama and Elizabeth Warren, that's a pretty good weekend. And well, that's a pretty stellar weekend, honestly. I don't know if it gets any better than that. But and to be able to tell Senator Warren how much she has, maybe indirectly, but how much she has profoundly impacted my life. That, you know, to be able to tell your heroes that, it's awesome. And then, of course, the Fab Four, they really are fabulous. They each told us about why they're running and what they hope to do when they get to Washington. And I'm inspired by each of them, too. I want to be any one of them when I grow up. So yeah, a really incredible week, chock full of events, and I don't know how I can top this week, but well, I'm going to keep trying. We're going to see. We'll see what happens. I think the last thing I want to talk about tonight is, I'm feeling a sense of cautious optimism about the election in November. The conversations I've been having with voters in the suburbs especially have been very promising. Also with people I've been texting with, it's very promising. I think that people are, you know, they thought they wanted the change that we got in 2016, and they're realizing now that that isn't what they wanted, or it's not working out for them the way that they'd hoped it would. And so they're ready for a different change. And I think they're starting to see the promise of that change in these incredible candidates that we have running. And I think part of it is that we do have incredible candidates who are running, right? So many of them are first-time candidates. They're real people who are getting into this not for the money and not for the fame and fortune, but because they really, truly care about making the world a better place. And I think that the voters are responding to that. And I think it's obvious from visits from President Obama and Senator Warren over the last couple of days that Philadelphia and Pennsylvania are a hotbed of, are sort of at the center of what is happening in our country and the changes, the blue wave that could happen in this country. They're really focused on Pennsylvania, right? It's very obvious that change is going to happen here, or the potential for change is very high here. And that's why so many people are paying attention to us, and we're getting all of these big name people to come see us here in Pennsylvania. I feel like we're a little bit like we're at the center of the universe, and that is a heady and powerful feeling. But I am cautious because the same thing happened 2 years ago, leading into the 2016 election, right? Pennsylvania felt like the center of the universe. I was doing a ton of volunteering then too. I was knocking doors every weekend as much as I could for Hillary Clinton for president. And we know how that turned out. And so I don't want us to rest on our laurels. I don't want us to think that our work here is done, because I feel the momentum. I do. But we've got to keep our blinders on. We've got to stay focused. We've got to keep our eye on the prize. I don't know how many other metaphors I can use, but I am cautiously optimistic, but we've got to stay focused. We cannot let this momentum we're feeling stop us from continuing to push forward, because we've got to cross that finish line strong. That finish line in November 6th, we've got to make sure that the people still get to the polls, that they push the buttons for the Democrats, that they vote, and that they and that we do really flip those seats, right? I don't want 2018 to be a repeat of 2016. And you know, one of the things that Senator Warren said tonight, and I have said this many times, this was my entire MO with 2016, and it's my entire MO today, that we have to do everything we can to not regret the outcome on after Election Day. And, you know, I said many times when I was knocking doors in 2016 that my goal was to wake up on November 9th and not regret that I could have knocked one more door, or I could have made one more phone call. And I didn't regret that, but I regretted the outcome. And I need every other person that I have talked to feel the same way. I need every other person to make sure that they have knocked every door that they could knock, that they have made every phone call that they could make, that they have texted every voter that they could text, that they've written every postcard that they could write. There are so many ways to get involved, and I need every single one of us to do as much as we can. We cannot let off the gas. We must keep the keep our eye on the prize, which is getting the voters to the polls on November 6th. I want every single one of us to wake up on November 7th and go, we did everything we could. And if we do that, we will win. I know that. So cautiously optimistic, keep our eye on the prize. That is my plan for the next, is it 54 days, I think, until November 6th. So, all right. So, I have gone on for quite a long time today, and I think that's understandable considering the momentous week that it was. I want to end with the three things that brought me joy this week. Well, of course, number one, President Obama brought me a lot of joy this week. But not just President Obama, right? The fact that Terry chose me to get the golden ticket. It's not really golden. It was a yellow ticket, but I couldn't help calling it a golden ticket. But anyway, the fact that Terry chose to give me that golden ticket, and then I found out after the fact that he actually only had one to give to all of his amongst all his volunteers, and he chose me to give it to. I'm truly humbled and honored, and I was full of joy. Being on that stage with President Obama was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. The second thing that brought me joy, I think this one will probably also be obvious, but being able to say thank you to Senator Elizabeth Warren, for all the inspiration that she has given to me, and the program that PCCC runs, that it has changed my life. And being able to say thank you to her, it was overwhelmingly joyous for me today. The third thing that has brought me joy this week is all of the people that I have been able to engage with over this whole campaign, but this week especially. Talking to those people and talking to voters and really understanding what is important to them, having those conversations brings me so much joy. I wish that that could be everything and the only thing that I do. Of course, it's not. But I wish it could be. So the people, that they bring me joy. So that is it for this week. I think this may be my longest recording yet, but I had a lot to say. I hope everybody has a great week. I'm really looking forward to seeing what this next week brings, and I hope you are too. And have a good one. Bye. Thanks for listening to See Beth Run. Special thanks to local singer-songwriter Avi Wisnia, who graciously provides the music for this podcast. I'm Beth Finn, first-time candidate for Philadelphia City Council at Large. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and anywhere you get your podcasts. If you like what you've heard, don't forget to leave a review and check me out online at www.beth4phl.com and on social media at Beth4phl. That's Beth4phl. See you next time.